Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. Today is Friday, and we do Mythbusters, and our co-host is Chris Rossini. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
I understand we might be talking about debt. Who could possibly be in debt these days? Tell me what we're going to be talking about.
Yes. Well, we were reading a piece from the Washington Post, who always gives us plenty of myths to bust, and apparently it's time to hit the debt ceiling again, so we'll tackle that today. And we're told by Robert Samuelson that U.S. Treasury securities are the world's safest financial assets. So I have a question for you, Dr. Paul. If somebody comes up to you and says, see those group of people over there? They're in debt $20 trillion. What you should do is give them your hard-earned money, loan it to them, because it's the world's safest financial asset. How would you respond to that, Dr. Paul?
You know, if it's the world's safest, I wonder what the rest of the world is like. You know, the world must be in a real mess. But obviously, our debt is huge, $20 trillion. But it's very significant on what the dollar is doing, because other countries, percentage-wise, much worse when you talk about socialist countries, Venezuela and Zimbabwe and different countries. So they're worse off, but they're minor compared to a huge economy like ours. But the significance of a reserve currency that's being used around the world. But yes, a lot of people still believe it's a safe haven. A lot of people use it. Some people do it out of desperation because they don't have many other places to go. And generally, the market worked much better than on the surface it should be working. But right now, it's a crazy period of time, something that people claim, and I believe, that we have conditions today that are different than they were throughout 5,000 years of history, because we have a world fiat currency and zero rates of interest. And when rates of interest go way down, or if you have bonds that pay nothing, that means the price is very high and you're not getting much for it. So today, our debt is at such levels that, and the rates are so very low that nobody really even wants the money anymore, and they're looking for other places to go. And I've heard, and including some of my personal thoughts, is, you know, if I sell a house or a building or sell some property, what do you do with the money? In the old days, you say, we'll earn 3 or 4%, you know, put it in the savings account. That's not available to anybody. So you almost don't want the cash, and that puts a damper, you know, on the economy. And we're there today, and right now, people just don't know what to do, but they are looking elsewhere. Traditionally, what has happened when there's been anything close to this or similar, people go and they, will look for some real assets to park their money in, but they have to be liquid. And gold and silver have been used, you know, for literally thousands of years, and there's a few people doing that as well. But in this modern age of people trying to get around the conventional currencies, a lot of people are resorting to, the cryptocurrencies, the bitcoins, and that's still, you know, to be fully digested, how it will pan out, but certainly it is being used. In countries that have had financial crises, they are going to gold, but they're also going to Bitcoin, and it remains to be seen, you know, exactly what will happen. But it's a very, very dangerous situation. The one thing I think most people concur is that currencies right now are very unsafe. There's been currency wars going on forever. But compared to what, the dollar, you know, still holds up. But not a lot of people think that it's healthy, that it's good, and it's going to last forever, because the handwriting is on the wall. Something's going to happen to the dollar, and people are going to reject it, because even the other currencies, which are considered worse, if we lose the status as a issuer of the reserve currency of the world, or our military is challenged, or our supremacy with our empire is challenged, it will change the value of the currency and make things much worse. Even, you know, you say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with currency. No, there are elements like perceived wealth and conditions and control and empires and ability to, spread troops around the world does convey a bit of trust in the currency. But it's all fake trust. This is all fiction, and it's just a matter of of time. I think even the people who play the market every single day, up and down, and trade this, buy this, and they seem to know about what's going on, and they can trade and make a lot of money. But I think even those who are doing that on the short run, many of them now are realizing that this isn't forever. Others believe it is going to be forever. It's a new era, and that they're blinded to the fact that you just can't keep doing this and assuming that we will always have the safest financial instruments, our treasury bills. Right now, we have gotten tremendous benefits from this. We can spend money, go into debt, print the money, issue treasury bills, and then the Chinese take our currency and our treasury bills and they loan us the money back. Well, I think it's coming to an end, and that's why we live in dangerous times.
Yes, and I do agree, and I believe the Washington Post is one of the people or one of the institutions that agrees that they can build this house of cards forever. Samuelson goes on and he says, Congress passed increases in the debt ceiling with little fuss or fanfare, as it should. The government should pay all its bills as a matter of principle. Please explain, Dr. Paul, how the government pays these quote-unquote bills, and is it really principled, Dr. Paul?
Yeah, the wrong principles. You know, it's their principle. It's funny how they resort to these principles every once in a while. You know, they may 99 times out of 100 do unprincipled, unconstitutional thing, but one time it looks like it's going to support their position. We have to do this on principle. Well, even if they thought they were trying to do it, there's no way they're going to accomplish it. And they're at a point now where debt is so overwhelming that they realize it can't be paid. There's no way that it's going to be paid. There's only two ways they can take care of a debt like this. One is just flat out don't pay anybody, and that's not going to happen. And the other one is to default by destroying the value of the currency. But the debt limit, they always raise it. I assume they will again. But in a way, it doesn't matter because on principle, their principles, they don't care what they do if they can get away with it. And just think of how much was spent, you know, with the bailouts through the Federal Reserve System, trillions of dollars that was off budget. So much is off budget, asset forfeiture off budget. So much of the military budget is off budget, getting involved in the drug trade. So things get off budget. But no, they'll come up with some charade. Actually, the debt limit is passed, and they have accounting manipulations that they have been up to, but they're assuming even those manipulations are running out. So I think that let's say they didn't raise the debt limit because they want to punish Trump. And so what kind of chaos we would have? Oh, you mean we're not going to pay the interest on the treasury bills? We're not going to send the Social Security checks out? No way. There's no way that's going to happen. I mean, even if technically they're not following the law, it wouldn't matter. They don't follow the law. I mean, they're talking about starting another war. Are they talking about asking Congress to declare war? No, we're just laying these plans. Soon, tomorrow, the next day, we might start another war. So they do what they want. They have no respect for the law. They have no respect that we wouldn't be in this trouble. What if they had respect for the Constitution about the monetary issue? Where the principle is that we wouldn't have gotten here if we'd have followed the rules of the Constitution and the founders. You know, we would have had no excessive spending and debt because you can't print money without the gold. But that's totally ignored, and they'll do that again. So even though I warn people of the danger, I don't get up and say, you know, next month you're not going to get your Social Security checks. No, you're going to get your check. What you need to be concerned about is can they keep up with the loss of the purchasing power, you know, of the money? And even now they say there's absolutely no inflation. Don't worry about prices going up. Why is it that people are out of money? Why is it that people, why is the new young generation not able to buy, buy a house and have difficulties and they don't have good jobs? So, yes, there's a lot of problems there, and they're going to continue, and the whole thing is they don't follow the principle, and I don't think that they're going to have a collapse of the government, you know, if they don't raise the debt limit. It would be a big deal. There's no doubt about it. But I think they'll pass something. They'll come up. They'll just like the bailouts and just like fighting these wars, they have to scare the people, frighten people to death as is their scheme. And then they can do what they want.
We're always told that, oh boy, they have to raise the debt ceiling because the U.S. government can't default. I mean, this is the exceptional government in the world. They can't possibly default. But Dr. Paul, didn't they already default on August 15, 1971? And isn't this system just a continuation of that default?
Absolutely. That was the literal default. That meant we were technically insolvent. We didn't have to declare the bankruptcy and liquidate everything we owned and try to pay off the debt like you would as an individual. A country does it differently if they can print the money, and because we have the reserve currency of the world, we can print the money for a lot longer. But it was on August 15th that we no longer to live up to our promises. First, we took that living up to promise. It was started, you know, in 1933 when Roosevelt, you know, took the gold away from us and said, I'm going to print a lot of money and solve the problems of the world. And so we lost the right to own gold. But we still maintained some type of order, and because we did well after World War II, because we were exempt from all the chaos, what we did was we had a dollar that was backed by gold at $35 an ounce. But the only way we could hold that in check is what we could do is sell, give the gold away at $35 if foreigners got too many dollars. And of course, they had too many dollars and they called on the gold. They were calling our bluff, and we no longer could sustain the dollar at $35 an ounce. So we had to close that option. So you're right. August 15th, 1971 was a day I remember very clearly. And what it did was it indicate of the bankruptcy. But the bankruptcy now is occurring on a continuous basis because they're literally designed and praying, you know, for more price inflation so that the real debt goes down. So if you have 50% price inflation, the $20 trillion is only $10 trillion. So that's done on purpose. So they're cheating the people, and that's why we're in this crisis period that we're in right now.
Finally, Dr. Paul, we know that Washington will not do the right thing. It's not even going to be contemplated as an option, not in the Washington Post and not anywhere else. But let's contemplate it here. What should the federal government, Washington, D.C., do about this big problem of theirs?
Well, what they should do is obey the law and, of course, have a sound currency, which means they can't print money anymore because that's what the rules are. But that's not going to happen like you indicate because you'd have to quit spending. And they're not going to do that. We have spending for welfare, we have spending for warfare, and we have all these bills coming due, so they're going to continue to spend. But, to solve the problem, we'd have to have a change in attitude by the American people about what the role of government ought to be. And, of course, it's not perpetually ever-growing welfare. We'd have to change our foreign policy. But we did go through a period when we went off the gold standard during the Civil War, and we had a transition from 1875 to 1878, and we said we're going back on the gold standard. They quit printing greenbacks, and we went back on the gold standard, but we didn't have a welfare state, and we weren't ready to start another war in another country, and they went back to less spending. And there was a confidence placed in what the government was doing. That doesn't exist today. They could do that, but it would change. The rules would have to be that the people would have to have a different attitude about their government, and we'd have to have a different attitude about our foreign policy. We'd have to have a restoration of sound money. In theory at least, if you follow the rules of money, that you can't print money out of thin air to accommodate debt, you wouldn't have any of these problems that we face. It would restrain the government. It would restrain the deficits. It would restrain the government power. It would restrain our foreign policy. And it's always too tempting that governments that want to grow, they get monopoly control of the money and they lock competition out. And that's why they have the legal tender laws. But also since we're, you know, reaching a crisis period, that's why people are starting to think more seriously about these options. So, yes, we know exactly what to do. It wouldn't be a whole lot more complicated than only having constitutionalists in Washington and not have people that want to perpetuate this system. So it's ingrained. And since I don't expect them to do the right thing, you know, in a gradual transition fashion and do it with less pain and suffering, what will probably happen is the collapse of the dollar and the collapse of our system and the collapse of the empire that we run around the world, and we will have to adjust. It'll be painful, but on the long run, it's what's going to come, and it's really necessary. So I think people, if they really concentrated on one factor, the purpose of government and the purpose of our government was and should be the defense and the protection of liberty. If it stuck to those principles, believe me, we could restore order and we could have this wonderful thing called individual liberty and the wonderful benefits of a free market and the prosperity that would come. And of course, this brings us peace, a better chance for peace than any other system. So, and this is also the reason that we strongly endorse with our organizations for the peace and prosperity. It is this goal that we should all have in mind, and believe me, I think the world would have benefited by it. But basically, the people have to change as much as thinking, oh, we have to just change Congress. The Congress changes when the people change, and that's why we have to deal in the world of ideas. Ideas have consequences. Bad ideas have bad consequences. We've been living with those for decades. So now's time for us to live with good ideas and see the consequences that will come. I want to thank you for being with us today. And Chris, thank you for being our co-host.
Thank you very much, Dr. Paul.
And I want to ask our audience to come back soon to the Liberty Report.